advisory board and confirm that a quorum is present. Okay, and so in attendance today, we do have Luann here, Leslie's here, David, Emily, Monica, and we have alternate Mohammed is now sitting at the table, so since Mohammed's at the table, he can speak to it, yes, okay, because he's alternate, thank you. And so the alternate, which will be serving as voters today, will also be Mohammed, you were brought up too, but alternates, no other alternates are here, so public comment. Public comments? No, we do not have that. We'll move on to our first order of business. So item number 24-1410, information update on the 2024 municipal bonds. City Manager Paul Grimes is here with us today. I'll let you.
All right, well, welcome. Do I try to stand? We don't have to stand. How do you do it? How are you all? Thanks for having me. Thanks for everything you do, keeping our parks and rec folks on the straight and narrow, right?
Correct.
Yes. Well, thank you all. So normally Trevor does these things. Trevor's been the kind of the go-to guy, but Trevor's in Boston, so he delegated it to me. So I can start doing the presentation. So we're actually teaming up to do a number throughout the community. I will always start, but number one, there's some handouts here. So there's a lot of them. So take extras, and you might just leave them if you want, and they can grab them on the way out, whatever, but there's quite a few. These are informational only. So I always start these presentations with the caveat that I am not here to advocate, and I cannot advocate one way or the other. This is informational only. Under state law, we are restricted from using taxpayer dollars, events that involve taxpayer dollars, to advocate or electioneer, as they call it, that is the term they use in the statute, to advocate one way or the other. But I am here. We do have an obligation to make sure that whoever our audience is, that we're presenting the information to you as best we can, and certainly answering any questions. There is a, I believe there is a PAC, a political action committee that is formed to help get the word out for folks to vote on election day. And they can advocate, but we can't in our world. So all we can do is tell people they should vote. It's always good to exercise your vote. Anyway, with that, I will get started. Ah, good, put this one in there. So I always start off with this slide. It's a little funky because I get this from the Dallas Regional Chamber. They update this every year. And by the way, they change every year because our population is growing so fast. But this is a really cool graphic to capture for you how large of a region we have and the fact that we're a really, really fast-growing region. And that means we have to continue to do the blocking and tackling necessary to build communities, which means you have to issue debt to be able to build capital infrastructure and buy parks and build parks and all those things that come with building communities. McKinney is the size of Salt Lake City. So this is the region. This is the DFW region. These are cities like around America that we all know. These are, if you planted those cities here, this is what you have. And it's really pretty fascinating because what it was before, just to, last time this chart was 2 years ago maybe, was the last time I used it, was we were Little Rock.
Yeah.
Now we're Salt Lake City. We're at 215,000 population now. And obviously we're growing fairly rapidly. We're adding about, it seems like we're averaging about 4,000 or 5,000 people every year as we grow. So kind of a neat graph to kind of show you the scale of what we have. Here's an interesting one as well. 5-10-year job change in the 12 largest U.S. metros. Look how far DFW was ahead of the rest of the country. This shows you how much, how fast we are outpacing the country in terms of the job change over 5 years. And it shows, obviously, the quickest return to pre-pandemic levels. Well, what does that mean when you have these jobs? You have people. People are moving in. And people are moving in because this is where the jobs are. So it underscores the pace at which we are growing and that we have one of our biggest challenges is trying to keep up with that growth. Okay, let's get to the bond committee itself. A little bit of a backswing in terms of the process of putting all this together. When we created the bond questions, it all started with the city council appointing a bond committee. Some of you served on that bond committee. There were 36 folks. Not everybody was just rah-rah Go McKinley. There are a few names on here that are fairly well-known skeptics in the community, and that's fine too, because we want to get as diverse a set of voices as possible. So the city council appointed all of these folks to serve on the bond committee, and they were organized around five key areas. And what they basically, their job was to meet over the course of the fall. I think they met four times. And they met to vet out staff's presentation to them. Here are the types of things that are needed as we continue to grow. And here are the things that are still unfunded. We don't have a funding source. I.e., we need to go out to issue bonds to be able to see these things. I'll get to them in a second. But these folks on this bond committee very dutifully met, provided input, feedback, whatever, and heard the presentations. And then they ultimately made a recommendation to the city council in late December, right before the holidays, I should say mid-December, right before the holidays, to report what their recommended bond questions were and the amounts. First one is Parks and Recreation, something near and dear to you, $106 million. Proposition A will be on the ballot. Now, one last thing about this bond committee. They made the recommendation to the council. The council didn't have to take it. The council could just say, thanks, we take it under advisement. It's just an advisory group. Now, my experience is they do take it under advisement, and they do act on it. But the city council ultimately is the final arbiter on whether or not to move forward with the bond question. And they did. In February, they called the election based on the recommendations made by the bond committee. $106 million for Parks and Rec. These are the things that were outlined that would be priorities. One that I would point to are multi-generational facility. That's an Apex North, if you think about it. But it would not only be an Apex North, it would also, what we mean by multi-generational, would also include senior recreational facilities. So you'd have a combined senior rec center and recreation center. And we have pickleball courts because, you know, we figured, well, if Mom's going to pass, you got to have pickleball courts, right? So they are very popular these days. We get lots of requests for them, and additional pickleball courts would go a long way in various locations. Gabe Nesbitt Ball Fields, of course, so behind the John and Judy B. Library, and then various improvements, Town Lake improvements. As you know, Town Lake has been reimagined. We're very excited about that. It takes funding to be able to do these things. There are a couple more propositions. Prop B is a municipal court facility. Nobody does cartwheels about a municipal court facility, but you know, we still have to have municipal court services. And that building is getting a little long in the tooth if you've been there. We just, you know, added a roof a few years ago and made some improvements, but they've reached their its limits, if you will, for that type of use, and they're really running out of room. So we're gonna have to come up with a new solution, if you will, for municipal court facilities. So that's the types of spaces that are used between courtrooms, jury spaces, marshal facilities, etc. And then Prop C is Public Works Sound Campus. We already have some funding for that, but we need some more to be able to see the South Campus, which is the one, Public Works South is the one by the Senior Center off of College Avenue. And that was the original one. Those were all of our Public Works facilities operated out of, but our Parks Maintenance operates out of there too. That is an old facility. The creature comforts are not very nice there. They're not very good. We did acquire a building off of Central Expressway. That's our Public Works North. We moved quite a few operations there. It was a fairly modern building. We did some fit outs to be able to meet the needs of what Public Works is. But we do still have our wastewater, water utilities, street maintenance, parks maintenance, etc. in the South Campus, and we need to make those upgrades. So that's what Prop C is on the ballot. We have Prop D, which is for public safety. $70 million, variety of different things, new fire stations, police administration renovations. So when fire moves out, their building is under construction now, the new fire administration building from the previous bond. When they move out of public safety building, then police will go in and take over those spaces as well as they grow. And that's going to require some renovation as well. Remodel of Fire Station 3 is on there as well as a future fire station, including the land acquisition. finally, street improvements, that is the big one. That's a very big one, $243 million. That was the recommendation of the committee. One of the most common things we get is our roads aren't keeping up. There's really a couple of components to that. Number one, it's new capacity, new roadway capacity. That includes things like turn lanes, deceleration lanes, add lanes, but also new roads, right? So that's adding capacity. But we also have older roads throughout town, particularly if you get into the, what I call mid-cities area, which is sort of between Hardin and east of Lake Forest. Some of those roads are really starting to get in rough shape, but also on the east side of McKinney, we have some really, really old infrastructure. And that takes reconstruction. So $100 million of this is in street reconstruction. That's where you literally have to go in and take the, not only tear the top off, but you rebuild the base of the road. Because that road was built under specifications that would not meet today's standards. And then, of course, as you all know, in Texas, dirt moves around here, the soil moves around, and over the years, it takes its toll. Oftentimes, we do utility improvements associated with that, because the utilities on the east side are also very old. So that is the biggest single component in the five questions of the overall package. Last day to register your vote, that's passed. Early voting starts April 22nd, runs through the 30th. Election day is Saturday, May 4th. Remind your friends and your family it's a Saturday election this year. Local elections, municipal elections are on Saturdays in the spring. This is the only thing on the ballot for the community, are these five questions. And you can get more information if you text that, you want to do a QR code, or you can go the old-fashioned way, type it into your browser, and get lots of good information, but pretty much those flyers will capture it as well. And that's it. I will stand for any questions you might have.
Mostly Warren, thank you for your presentation. Is it just me? It seems like about every other election we have a bond thing for parks. Didn't we just have a bond?
2019. Last year, if you recall, the bond question was for the airport. Okay. That was the terminal. That was a question about whether or not the voters would authorize $200 million of debt for construction of a passenger service terminal.
Okay.
Based on property tax debt, if you will, property tax backed debt. The voters rejected that. That was very different. The last Parks and Rec bond we had was 2019.
If we were in a state park thing, I think we probably. It's like when we were voting on some state issues, maybe I'm getting it.
Yes, that sounds right. That's right.
Yeah. Last question is, and I think I asked this last time, for something this important, why don't they have it on an election where people are going to be voting more, like our last election for November? These traditionally, it's low anyway, unfortunately. I can't imagine what this is going to be, unfortunately. But
I don't know. I don't know if we're required to have those up in the spring. I would have to check on that. Typically, I think your bonds, municipal bonds, have to be during the bond election of your municipality.
Okay.
I may be wrong. I can check on that. But that's.
I was just kidding.
Yeah. Great question. Any other questions, comments?
Well, no, it's not going to impact our taxes negatively, but a lot of voters that aren't informed, haven't served on the bond committee, haven't been educated in those matters. What's the best message to get to our neighbors and say it's not going to raise your taxes?
So, this is interesting. This a little bit. My first response to that is, Our existing INS rate, that is the portion of your tax bill. Your tax bill has two parts to it. You have an O&M, that's your operation, that's what pays salaries, materials, those types of things. And then you have an INS rate, that's your interest in sinking. That's a Texas term. In other cities, they just call it debt service. It's a debt service part of your tax rate. Our tax rate right now is at 45 cents? 42. I think it's down 45 or something. Might be 100 somewhere, but of that, the 15 cents or so is your debt service portion. That debt service portion is sufficient to cover the tax, the debt service payments from this bond collection. In fact, it's not only sufficient, we could go higher. We presented, remember, it's a function of several things. It's a function of your valuations, etc. But your rate, your value produces, it yields a certain amount of revenue. And that revenue would have been significantly higher than the $485 million perfectly comfortable with this number. I was on the finance committee part. There's a very, very outspoken fiscal conservative who was on that committee, and she said, yes, 450 million or whatever sounded right to her. They went to 485 because the road party wanted that full number. So it's well within our debt capacity at the existing rate. What does that mean? It means your property taxes are going to go up. We're going to have to raise your debt service portion of your tax rate to be able to pay for this debt service. We can sustain it based on the existing amount. This is the next question we get is, well, how can McKinney afford this? Our debt is below 1% of our assessed valuation. We have $43 billion of assessed valuation. 1% of your assessed valuation, a rough way to compare, it's not exact, there's differences, but a good rough comparison, take the valuation of your home. If you have a $500,000 home, you're at $4,500 of outstanding mortgage on a $500,000 home. Most people would say, gee, that's well within our ability to handle that. So we have a very, very low debt service. We're a little more than half of what Frisco has for debt to AV ratio. But that's a good benchmark to use when you don't look at these types of things. Any other questions? I would welcome snide remarks. I would welcome as a staff. Whenever I use staff, say questions, comments, snide remarks, or you're welcome. Okay. Well, there's lots of great information on the website. You have the handouts. If there are any further questions that you have, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Reach out to Trevor Vineyard as well, and we'll be happy to answer them as best as possible. Just know that we can't advocate. So if you're going to ask me to come advocate for something, I can't do that. But there are other folks who are out there taking on that responsibility. So thank you so much.
One note about the PAC. So I'm on the PAC. One of several folks on it. We met again today. You'll be starting to see the signs popping up soon around our fine city. We're a little behind the curve right now, but we're going to try to hit the ground running very soon, tomorrow.
Both people forget anyway, right? You do it too soon.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Mr.
Grice.
Very good.
Appreciate
the flyer, too. Good information. I do want to add that a little bit after 5, Sam Franklin joined the group, and Todd Burton is now with us. Hello. Thank you for coming. Next up is item number 241411, and that's our director's report. So welcome, Amy Kathy.
Thank you. Good evening. This is my first report. I've been here now. This is my 5th week. So my first week here was at the last park board meeting, so I'm excited to present what's been going on and what's coming up. So on March 22nd, we had a social dance at Old Settlers Rec Center. These historically have been at Town Lake, but with the project going on, it's been moved over here, which has been fun. They were concerned that the attendance would be down, but it actually was consistent with what historically has been there, which has been about 50 or 60 people. I stopped by and it was fun. It was a sock hop and staff enjoyed, as you can see, they dressed up and the DJ had fun and games that entire evening. Also, I know we gave a report last time on the February 24th. Since then, we've had both of the hiring events. The last one was the next thing on March 23rd. So combined both of those hiring events, we were able to hire 127 new hires, which was about 30% higher than last year. So that was very successful. We were able to close positions such as the playroom attendants and the athletic assistant, as well as, I don't know why I didn't pop up there, but slide attendant. We still have a few positions open, camp counselors, lifeguards, swim instructor aides currently. So we're still pushing, trying to get that to the finish line, hopefully within the next month. We also, on Easter, we had an Easter egg splash at Apex. So we had three sessions in the morning. Each one was at a capacity of 50, and all of those sold out very rapidly. And then they also added an afternoon for special needs. They had 25 people that were there, and that was for up to 17 years of age for the special needs. So very excited. That historically has happened on a Saturday, but because of the higher data, they had to push it to a Sunday. They were concerned about the attendance, but as you can see and hear, that it was well represented and the family still showed up to participate. Solar eclipse, hopefully all of you guys got to witness that. What a cool experience. But that took place this past Monday. And here's just some of the photos that we captured at Game Nest. But we had around 3,000 people, I would say, within the complex. But it was super fun to see families of all ages and people traveled all over to come experience this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But we had food trucks, we had the bubble bus, we had a DJ, and it was just a lot of fun. We have a few upcoming events. Of course, this weekend, I did want to mention Arts in the Blue taking place downtown, so excited to go to that starting tomorrow at 5 p.m. So make sure to go out there. We help support that with the use of the stage and stuff. So we definitely want to support that. We also have Saturday, we have our first Concerts in the Park, which is Saturday from 7:30 to 9, which is going to be Time Machine, which is a 70s, 80s, 90s kind of band. And then on the 20th, we have the Havana HRG, which, or NRG, sorry, which is more of a Latin flavor type of music.
That's a better way?
Where is
it? Yes. Sorry, I meant to include that. And then coming up on April 27th from 3 to 9, we have the first ever Boil and Brew Festival that's going to Earth Fest taking place at Town Lake. I'm so excited to see that. We have a different beer companies that will be there with samplings with the headliner of Ashmore. I knew I would get it. And they play a variety of music, so we're looking forward to seeing how many people will come out to that. And then just a quick update, as most of y'all know, we're going through CAPRA, which is accreditation, with a lot of different standards and stuff. SAR is the one that's leading that project. And so we have to hit some standards. Just wanted to give a quick update, Parks Master Plan update. So they set criteria of what we have to meet. And these are the things that we have to add to the existing Park Master Plan. A lot of them we already have, it's just a matter of putting them into the market, the Master Plan, and those include the achievements of the last Master Plan update, which we're taking those out of what council's approved through the budget, department mission statement, which we have, department ethic values and HPO philosophy, city rights values and vision statement, which we all have, so it's just a matter of working with Dunaway, who did our park master plan, and getting those inserted. An index for Texas Parks and Wildlife and CAPRA compliance with their location in the plan, a summary on administrative maintenance and operations, and then lastly, recreational leisure trends analysis. And with that, I will turn it over to Jenny, who will be giving the update on the projects.
So last meeting, y'all kind of gave a pretty extensive update on all our CSP projects. This time, I'm going to be super short. I just have two quick updates. One is for the McKinney Greens Park. We just put this out to bid. It'll be coming before you all at the park board in May to make a recommendation on a construction contract, which will then go on to council on the 21st. And
Minutes of Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Advisory Board meeting of March 14th, 2024.
I think I see something about right. Slap me if I'm incorrect.
Okay.
Down at the end, where we were, well, not the end, and bottom of the second page, where we were voting for the names. I believe that first part of the vote should be 2-3-0 with Luann Bruce. And first of all, I think it should be 2-3-0, shouldn't it? Because that one was the recommendation to name it Tim White, and only two people voted yes.
Correct.
And three of us voted no, so it should be 2-3-0. Right? Correct on that? Well, then there was the second one where we voted to name it corporate. This was very confusing. You weren't here. To name it Corporate Center Park, and it's the second choice, Tim White, was 3-2-0. I think the first one was two people said yes to naming it Tim White.
That's how I recall it.
And that would have, that was Monica and
yes,
Leslie.
Yeah.
So it was, should be 2-3-0 with Luann, Bruce, and David voting no. Right? Right?
2-3-0.
It should be 2-3-0.
Okay.
With Luann, and I'm pretty sure it was Bruce and David that voted no. Correct.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So then in the second paragraph, that one is correct. The vote was 3-2-0 with Leslie and Monica voting. So the second paragraph is correct. That first paragraph needs to get changed.
I think we can.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because we have it reported, but I believe the motion for Tim White passed. So that's what we maybe want to hang up on instead of approving this now.
Oh.
They want to, can we table the minutes?
Do you remember? No.
No, we don't think it passed.
He also declined the... The
well, I think it passed, but then y'all decided to bring up a second name.
Mm-hmm. And, it did
and then,
pass,
you're
right.
Yeah. And then it passed the first time. Yes, it
see,
passed.
Yeah.
It passed the first time, and then y'all picked another name to also take to council. So you had two options to go to council, and then that week we spoke with Tim White, and he declined that offer to
okay.
Name the park.
But so where it says that it was Bruce and Monica voting no to name the Tim White, that's not correct, is it? Because I thought Monica won.
Yeah, I wasn't. I voted yes for Tim White.
Okay.
You see, I knew something was wrong with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So it was me and Leslie.
Yes.
The people that voted no were Monica and Leslie, not Bruce. Okay, so that's the only thing wrong with it. I'm sorry. Does that make sense? So I guess you're saying it should be 3-2-0 with the two people being Monica and Leslie voting no. Yeah, it was very confusing when we were doing this.
I did hear. Well, it says voting no to the white result. I think we voted
yes. Yes. So Bruce and Monica voted yes for Tim White originally.
Okay, so Leslie and Monica voting yes for Tim White.
Correct.
Wait, and there's a third part.
I think it's Bruce too.
And Bruce also.
Okay.
It passed. So it was I voted no, and David, did you vote no?
I think I did, yeah.
So it was Luann and David voting no.
Yeah.
I knew something wasn't quite right. I wasn't sure what.
Yeah, it was 3-2-0.
Okay. So it was 3-2-0, Luann and David voting no, and the second paragraph is okay.
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 So then with this edit, then, so would we do, with the edit made, then do we have a motion to approve minutes with that update? Is that okay to do?
Yes, I'll
okay.
Make a motion
yeah.
That we approve it now.
So Luann made a motion. Sam?
I'll second.
Sam seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. for the minutes. Okay, so let's now move on to some regular agenda items. So item number 241413, consider, discuss, act on recommendation to City Council authorizing the city manager to execute a professional services contract with LGA, thank you, of McKinney, Texas, for landscape, architectural, and engineering services related to the design of improvements to Grady Little John softball and baseball complex at Town Lake. So, now you're up.
Good evening. This item is to engage LJA Engineering for design services for the reconstruction of concession and restrooms at Grady Little John in a contract amount of $245,465. LJA Engineering is the same group who completed the overall master plan and is currently working on design of the light walk and the dog park, which has restroom buildings within Town Lake. This was to ensure we keep the cohesive feel to Town Lake. This facility has originally constructed in 1989, so along with the construction of new concession restrooms, we will be making upgrades to the existing dugouts, walkways, and spectator seating to address some ADA issues, as well as address some drainage issues and concrete repair. As you can see in the photos, at the dugouts right here, the walk to the dugout is narrowed. Portions of the railroad ties or retaining walls are starting to fail, so upgrades are warranted right here. And then this right here is what it looks like after they clear everything out. This area here is where the red is the area we're talking about. Right in here is specific areas right here. Is where the work is going to be done. You have any questions?
Got a couple. I frequent that pretty much every week now with my grandsons, and I know the new concession stand is going to be part of this, right?
Yes.
What about shade structures? Because a lot of these have shade structures. And also, I know at least the one tree was severely damaged by the fire. Hopefully there'll be some new trees planted to replace not only that tree, but there's some old tree pits that are kind of tripping hazards right now. And I just wondered if the city's going to be putting any trees in there.
That's some of the concrete one. That's where the concrete's going to be fixed or taken care of, I guess, where some of those are. And then you were talking about the
shade
structures. I think there is going to be some in there also. And the trees.
Yeah, we're definitely going to look at the trees. You're right, one of them was damaged, so we've got an arborist, looking at that. And then, really, the burning down of the restroom kind of gave us an opportunity to say, okay, we really weren't planning on doing anything out here, but there's a lot of stuff that really does need to be done. So that's when we went out there and we kind of picked it apart with a fine tooth comb. And the spectator, the seating is so narrow, it's just not a great a great experience. So we are going to redo the bleachers, make better sort of pedestrian plaza and seating areas, going to put shade over all of the bleachers, new site furnishings, new landscaping, kind of bring it up to the standard that we expect for Town Lake and the associated adjacent areas.
Will the park be updated or is it staying the same?
Mm-hmm. Even there a park in there? There is a playground. We just put that in, I want to say, 2 years ago. So that'll stay there. It was not damaged. The shade structure over it, the cloth was singed. So we do have a replacement coming out already. And the pavilions are staying because they're actually in pretty good shape.
Okay. Any other questions? If there's no more questions, then we're asking.
Well, I do have one question.
Oh,
sorry. The scoreboards, they're not
color 100% up to the lights.
If there's a scoreboard not working, let us know we'll go through it, because getting everything back online, there could be some that we'll test and all that out.
Thanks.
Okay, if there's no other questions, then we're asking for the approval of this item for a recommendation to City Council authorizing a design contract in the amount not to exceed $250,000.
So then, would we have a motion to approve this item?
I'd like to make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And Leslie seconds. So, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So, this motion passes. And we'll go to the City Council next month. So, we will now move to public comments regarding matters not on the agenda. Anybody? Todd, do you have anything you'd like to say? Okay. So let's move on now to comments from board members. If any, anything that they want to talk about? And then let's move on to our liaisons. So Emily McClure, you're with Volunteer Visit McKinney?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, good. So we'll start with you.
Sure. Okay. So last month I mentioned the new printed ad that we did with Texas Monthly, and I just wanted to show you all the perks, and I'll pass it around if you haven't seen it yet. There's a digital copy, but we're very proud of it as a whole, but I thought y'all might want to see your part, so I brought it. You're welcome. Arts of Bloom is this weekend, the Highland Games, which is super fun, is at Myers Park next weekend. Byron Nelson is coming, and we saw a presentation from CJ Group, which is the main sponsor. They're new this year, I think. They're very excited to be in McKinney, and we hope that we retain them. And then TMP is this summer. We're excited about the AC Marriott Hotel, which is going up at the Hub 121. It's a 137 key hotel. So we're needing that full service with a rooftop patio and restaurant. And it will host a lot of the sports groups at the Craig Ranch turf fields, which look amazing. I went by last week. Just a side note. I was at the Craig Myrtle Park, and many people are parking there and walking across the four-lane street to go to their soccer games. That's a concern.
Yeah.
Lots of little kids, so I'm sure you're aware of that, but I just wanted to highlight that as well. That's all I have tonight.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What about the solar eclipse?
Oh, yes. I chose to enjoy it in my own driveway, but we did have a rooftop event downtown, and then it gave Nesbitt, and some of us had clouds at totalities. That was unfortunate. But overall, I think we sold out most of the hotels, and I think we did a really good job hosting it. The merch sold out. And
the shirts were very cool.
Yeah.
I don't know
about the staff. We're running a full staff capacity now.
Yes.
I'm very excited because it allows us the margins to market the way we should and have the merch that we should to highlight our staff.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking.
Yes. Okay, so Ms. Joy Booth with NCDC.
Okay, happy to present. One sidebar, I did attend the rooftop viewing party, and the city just did a fantastic job. It was on the rooftop of the parking garage on Chestnut. And what an open space area for private events. I think it is a revenue generator for the city. I can see a lot of groups renting that out for different functions, and it really set up quite nicely. So hats off to the city, and I know Ms. McKinney was a part of that also. So, all right, so from NCDC, a couple of just basic updates on our grant cycles and so forth, but let me start with Tufts. I'm sure that many of you have already been there since it opened. They are still operating under a temporary CO, and that will be in place a couple more weeks until May 1st. They have a few punch list items that they're working through, and I'm sure that they'll move quickly to get that settled. And if you haven't been there yet, you know, highly recommend it. Another wonderful open space. Lots of community events happening there, one happening there right now, which is why I think Bruce has gone off. But anyway, for the grant cycle, we have a new cycle coming up for our promotional and community event grants, which will be May 1st through the 31st. And as you know, MCDC funds the promotional activities, the advertising that you see in print and broadcast media for many of the things like typically Arts in Bloom and some of the downtown events. So that'll be coming up. Project grants were accepted recently, and our board will be considering those applications at our upcoming meeting this month of interest to you in terms terms of applicants is the McKinney Parks Foundation will be applying for $150,000. It's an additional set of funds for the Learning Garden adjacent to Tufts. Just wanted to make you all aware of that. We just issued about $270,000 in our retail development and infrastructure grant program. That's for things like grease traps, sidewalks, any kind of an external improvement that enhances the facility generally in the historic district, but there's some border areas around that, and our board is going to be reconsidering what we consider the landmark district this summer when we consider our strategic plan. So those are the bottom line updates and the news that's fit to print.
Any questions? Any comments now from staff? Okay. Well, with that, I would like to say thank you very much for letting me do my very first meeting like this. Paul, I'm so excited you're here with us. It is truly an honor. I would like to motion to adjourn at 5:43. Do we have a motion to approve this? Oh, wait, no, we just adjourned. Oh, no, do we motion to adjourn? Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Sam. We appreciate that. So all